Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
It's a real joy to be in the presence of the Lord, amen? And to just enjoy His goodness and to see the wonderful way in which He reaches out to us and meets us in our point of need. Our God is a truly an encouraging God. Amen? And last week, we went away with the reminder to be God's instruments of encouragement to others. We also heard from Pastor Daniel too how this can have powerful and life-transforming effects on those around us. And in fact, Pastor Daniel himself shared how a particular Mr. Lim's word of encouragement made all the difference for him to not take the wrong path when he was a troubled teenager. And today he's serving the Lord, and what a joy it is to see that. All through a word of encouragement. With so much fearful and threatening news that we hear these days, we can certainly do with some good news and more good news, don't we? The message of Jubilee, friends, is good news. Not only should we celebrate it, we should all the more share and proclaim it and do so all the more. And as we continue reflecting on Jubilee, the message of the Lord's favor is at the very heart of Jubilee. Now, someone once said that God is Asian, really. Do you think that God is Asian? Why do you say that? Well, like in business, it is not what you know that gets you the deal. It is who you know, isn't it? And similarly, it is not what you know that saves you. It is who you know. Amen? That, my friends, is the message of the gospel. Instead of judgment and condemnation, the message is of God's forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. Next slide, please. Without Jesus, life has no ultimate value, meaning, or purpose. Knowing Jesus makes all the difference for us now and for all eternity. If you do not have Jesus, you do not have life. If you know Jesus, you know the fullness of life. And that comes through faith in Him. The Apostle Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost said, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this was a quotation from the Old Testament prophet Joel, who prophesied that this was going to happen. And this message was so important that the Apostle Paul reaffirmed this, resounded this in Romans 10 verse 13. When he said, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Friends, it was for this very purpose that the disciples in the early church were filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit to bear witness to. You know, God just doesn't give His Holy Spirit for nothing. It was to empower His people to witness for Him, to tell the good news. And they were driven to tell others the good news wherever they went. And the desire to see everyone call upon the name of Jesus motivated them to go even to the ends of the earth. How many of you here are Star Trek fans? Only a few. Yeah, from which generation? Oh no, y'all don't watch TV. Y'all just pray. Anyway, just kidding. And of course, there's this famous quote of Captain Kirk of Star Trek's Enterprise, and talk about how this spaceship and the journeys that they traveled through all the universe, and his words were that they were there to explore strange new worlds, to boldly go where no man has gone before. Yeah? I mean, you can hear that, right? Patrick Stewart. That was a poor mimic of him. Yeah. But we go to where no man has gone before, boldly to present, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, as we celebrate Jubilee, surely it will be more fitting, more meaningful and joyful when we see the Lord adding many, many more souls into our midst. Amen? Take a look around you. There are still empty seats. I know some are away because of this long weekend. But surely we want to see God filling this church. Amen? I want to see that, don't you? Yes. The more the merrier. Then our celebration will be even more joyful. Amen? As we look at our text today, Romans 10, verse 11, onwards to chapter 11, verse 1, allow me to just read that out for you. You can follow that on the screen. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him, that is Jesus, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. And if you were to read further on the rest of chapter 11, we will see that God has not rejected his people at all. Now, as we look at this passage this morning, we will see that the task of proclaiming the gospel is God's plan to save everyone, and that this task is commanded by God for those who believe. This is a slide out, please. We'll be looking at this under two headings. First of all, we'll see that proclaiming the gospel is God's intention. It is God's plan. It is God's purpose. And secondly, we'll see that proclaiming the gospel is God's injunction. It is his command. It is his charge. It is something that he expects of us. Proclaiming the gospel is God's intention as well as God's injunction. First of all, God's intention. From this passage, it is clear that God wants to save everybody. And this is reiterated in 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 to 6, where it says, God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Friends, God's plan is to save people from sins. And this was not only to Jews, but to non-Jews also. The slide out, please. No one is excluded. God's blessings is for everyone who calls on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus. Yeshua, if you prefer. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. And even to those who had not sought him, we are told, God had chosen to reveal himself to them so that they might be saved. I think many of us, you know, we did not go out looking for God, but God somehow in his grace and mercy reached out to us, revealed himself to us. And we hear of news of such like even in many parts of the Middle East, where through dreams and visions, God revealed himself to these people. One intended effect is to provoke Israel to jealousy, we are told, in order that they may return to the Lord and to his salvation. So friends, preaching the gospel to the nations is part and parcel of God's plan to prompt Israel to return to him. And we're beginning to see signs of that already happening. Now, while this may seem rather strange to some of our ears, the truth is that we, the non-Jews, can also run into the same danger as the Jews did. As God's people, do we not at times take God's love and blessings for granted? Do we not actually, dismiss Him? How often do we actually pay heed to His promptings and to His guidance? Do we resist God's say over our choices or our lives? Do we refuse His influence or guidance, let alone His direction or control? If so, would we not have rejected God or ejected God out of our lives? And we should not be surprised if God feels dejected. And He does. Nonetheless, does God give up? Thank God. No. God doesn't give up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. He does not give up on His people. He does not give up on us. Amen. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, God has not given up on any one of us. So we shouldn't give up on each other. Even sometimes we may be difficult, yeah? But God does not give up. And sometimes children can be quite exasperating. Maybe your spouse can be quite exasperating. And you feel like giving up. But God doesn't give up, so we shouldn't give up. Just bless them and pray for them. Amen? That's the way. When we bless them, then God begins to work in them. Amen? Hallelujah. But God also works on us. Friends, God is doing some amazing things today. Now, besides the usual and regular things that churches, Christian organizations, and Christian missions do in terms of evangelistic outreach, what we are witnessing today are movements. Movements that are initiated by the Holy Spirit. These movements gather God's people as family of nations in different places worldwide to witness to those around. 3 weeks ago, my wife and I had the privilege of being involved in attending one of these gatherings. It's called the Kobe Gathering. It's not a gathering for beef eaters, but I have to admit that the beef there was delicious, tender, and tasty. And it's actually about half the price here, so otherwise cannot afford. The Kobe Gathering is part of the homecoming events under what is called the Asia Gathering Series. And next one in July is going to be in Hong Kong. But what's all these homecoming events about? Well, briefly, it is about Father God calling the nations to Himself. God is calling His people from every tribe and tongue and nation to gather as His family to honor Him and to worship Him. It is about the realization that we are each an integral part of God's one big family worldwide, called to serve His purposes, albeit that we may be from different backgrounds, different nations. And at that Kobe gathering, there were at least 30 nations who attended. And there were brethren from Israel as well who were there. Now, you know, so in a way, each week that we gather here to worship the Lord at Kus, we're doing something similar, albeit on a smaller scale. Now, at the Kobe gathering, I must say that the worship sessions were inspiring and edifying, and it went on for a fair bit. Every session lasted about 2 hours for the morning, and then after lunch, another 2 hours. Another evening, another 2 hours. And the time of worship and praise led by the worship team together with the dancers, there was no pre-arranged choreography. But everything just flowed as if they were, just in such a harmony, like one seamless movement of praise and adoration in worship of Almighty God. Man, you got to be there to see it and capture this for yourself. We witnessed also with our own eyes and ears powerful and unprecedented spiritual breakthroughs that the Japanese church experienced. Their pastors and their leaders humbling themselves in ways that I've never encountered before, let alone heard of. Their hearts were laid bare. They were undone in the presence of God. It's just like the song we sang. Here in your presence, we are undone. There was confession and repentance and asking of forgiveness from those whose offense and hurt had been caused. What was remarkable was the Japanese Christians repenting on behalf of their nation. The war atrocities that they'd committed, that was committed against the Chinese, the Taiwanese, the Koreans, and others. Now, in the gathering, there were some who were from China, some who were from Korea, and various parts of the chopstick nations. And right before our eyes, we see healing, we see embrace between the nations, which had been at enmity with one before. And there was even a covenant made between the Japanese, the Chinese, and the Korean Christians to put the past behind them. And henceforth to support and uphold and bless each other as members of one, God's one family. Wow. Well, a similar thing happened in Jerusalem last year at their gathering when the Arab Christians, the Jewish Christians, and the Palestinian Christians covenanted, came together and covenanted to walk with each other and support each other as one family of God's people. And this is consonant with what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Ephesians 2 verse 15. That God has made for himself one new man in Christ. No more wall of separation between Jew or Greek. No more wall of separation between the peoples. Friends, God is doing a new thing amongst the nations today. It's almost as if that he cannot sort of wait for us. And sometimes as churches, we try very hard to work on such things of unity. But God himself is doing it through a sovereign work of his Spirit. There was reconciliation and healing where strife and enmity once ruled. There is humility, repentance, and forgiveness where there was once pride, arrogance, suspicion, and hatred. The remarkable thing is that what politicians and world leaders are unable to do or find it very difficult to do, the church, by God's grace and through a powerful work of the Holy Spirit, is able to. And this was so poignant for us and so clearly revealed to us while we were at the gathering. Because at that same time, it was big news that the Japanese premier had apologized in the U.S. for war atrocities that they committed during the Second World War. Nonetheless, what was also noted was that while the admission was made for, it was not made to the nations that those atrocities had been committed against. No wonder some of these countries are not satisfied. What world leaders were unable to do, the Japanese Christians were able to. In Christ, all things are possible. Amen? To the praise of his glory. Friends, isn't God's salvation powerful? Isn't the gospel powerful? It has the power to liberate and transform lives. And we have every valid and good reason to preach the gospel without apology. Amen? Its effects, its blessings and benefits are not only reserved in the life hereafter, it is also experienced in the here and now. No doubt we will experience it all in full in the day of his glory when Christ returns. But our God is a very generous God. He lavishes his love and blessings upon his people, even the nations today. The gospel is indeed good news. It brings forgiveness. It brings healing. It brings restoration. It brings reconciliation. It sets captives free. That's Jubilee. No wonder the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:7 that we have this treasure in jars of clay to offer to the world. This treasure, my friends, is the gospel, which brings people to see Christ and receive his salvation and all the blessings that overflow from there. They see Christ in us, the hope of glory. Is there any reason for us to be embarrassed or afraid to share the good news? Surely not. After all, it is God's intention to save everyone, Jew and Gentile alike, through calling upon his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's God's promise. Hallelujah. That's God's plan. That leads me to my second point. God's injunction. Next slide, please. Yes. Is it God's will for us to preach the gospel? Some of us may ask, well, is it only just for the pastors, the full-time staff, and so on and so forth? Or those who are experts and so on? Well, there is a clear mandate that our Lord Jesus gave to his disciples and all who followed him. And this mandate from our Lord is that the message of the gospel is to be proclaimed to all. Mark 16 verse 15 says this. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And these are the words of Jesus. Now, when a king makes a statement, his faithful and loyal subjects would respond by saying, your wish is my command. What's more, when our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, should charge his disciples to do this, it is no less an injunction, that is a command for us to go and preach the gospel. We should feel compelled. And here in chapter 10 verse 14, we are reminded, how then will the people call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Friends, the message of Christ has to be preached, has to be proclaimed. Because it is only upon hearing the message that a response of faith is made possible. And that response of faith is required. Verse 9 and 10 of the same chapter, Romans 10, affirms this when it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For that to happen, they have to hear the message. For them to hear the message, it has to be preached. Without the message proclaimed, people cannot hear and respond. Someone has to go and tell them the good news. And verse 15 affirms this when it says, and how are they to preach unless they are sent? That's why KUS sends out mission teams. Yesterday at the evening service, a team was commissioned and prayed for. This was going to Sri Lanka. And recently we prayed for missionaries to be sent to Japan. And this church support missionaries, whether it's when they go individually or as groups. As such, people are sent by God to proclaim the good news. And that was why the Apostle Paul and others went about so urgently spreading the gospel of God's salvation right up to the ends of the earth, of the known world of that time. And they were prepared to risk life and limb to get the message out. That's what I believe motivates you and I as well, to go out into the neighborhood, into the communities, the workplaces, elsewhere and overseas to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we consider the importance of telling others the good news, we also should ask, in what ways do we actually go about doing this? At different times, different forms and methods have been used, and for centuries the message has been preached, whether they're at big gatherings or at small groups, whether to households or to individuals. This might even be to royalty, to rulers, or even to the commoner or to the peasants, to young and old, men, women and children alike. During the last century, crusade meetings in particular was one powerful means that was used to bring the message across. This was held in the open air usually, at Big Ten meetings or in the stadiums. Gifted evangelists like Billy Graham, Louis Palau, and Reinhard Bonnke preached powerfully and led many people to Christ. Christians also used radio and television to spread the message. There was, of course, also films such as the Jesus film, which has been translated into numerous languages and which had been used to a good effect. Drama, song and dance, musical cantatas have been used to do this as well. Like recently during our celebration of Christ's resurrection, we saw that here. The three trees. Courses, seminars such as the Alpha Course, Christianity Explored, as well as tours like the Holy Land tours have been used as other means to introduce Christ to others. And the Apostle Paul would use every means available to him to witness to the gospel of Christ. And this is well reflected in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 22 to 23, when he said, "To the weak I became weak, that I may win the weak." Paul was prepared to become anything, do anything in order to reach others with the gospel. And he said, "I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some." Hallelujah. "I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." Wow. That was what Paul was prepared to do. What are we prepared to do? I believe that the Lord is using also events like the homecoming gatherings to draw not only God's people together to himself, but also those who have yet to come to salvation to him too. If you think about it, this is not actually something new entirely. Think about what happened on the day of Pentecost. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Well, the believers were gathered there. And there was a powerful manifestation of the presence of God, which was audible and even visible. And the crowd, we are told, was perplexed and amazed by what they saw and heard. And then the gospel message was proclaimed, and 3,000 people got saved. Wow. Can you imagine being in a meeting like this? God can use many ways and means to bring his message across. And sometimes a personal testimony of what God has done for us in our lives can be a powerful way whereby the gospel message can be presented to others. You know, sometimes we hear that, people who have just recently come to faith, experience especially some special, revelation from God, a special work of God in their lives. And I'd like to suggest that this is not just reserved for those who have just recently come to Christ, but it is also something that is experientiable by those of us who have been with the Lord for many years, and even those who have been serving the Lord, even as pastors included. And this was so evident at the gathering in Kobe. There was this very well-respected Japanese pastor who had been serving the Lord faithfully for many, many years. I think longer than probably most of us, if not all of us. I don't know, maybe with exceptions of one or two. And this pastor worked hard after finishing Bible school in the 1950s. And he grew this church called Charis Chapel into a successful church after many years of working very hard in Osaka, where our missionary Pochu is. Two of his sons have followed in his father's footsteps and are themselves pastors. And this senior Japanese pastor is now in his 70s. And at the Kobe gathering, Pastor Yoshinobu Murakami confessed. Now this is after so many years of serving the Lord. He confessed that he had not known what Father's heart was about until quite recently. He admitted that he also did not know what a child's heart was too. And this was because he never experienced that kind of love as a child growing up, and so he never knew what being a father meant. In the ministry, he worked very hard. He preached stern messages on obedience and faith and so on. And towards his own children, he never expressed his love as a father toward them, although he loved them in his heart. It was apparently the same with his wife too. You may have heard this joke about a man who was asked repeatedly by his wife whether he still loved her after having been married for 20 years, and to which he replied, "I have said it once at our wedding that I do, and if I've changed my mind, I'll let you know." Pastor Murakami had given the impression that it was pretty much like that. But upon realizing his lack of insight into what having a father's heart meant, Pastor Murakami prayed to God to work in his heart and to give him a father's heart. And the most amazing thing happened at that gathering. The senior, well-respected Japanese pastor confessed and repented and asked for forgiveness from his children in front of all of us for not being a good father and for failing to raise them with a father's heart. Wow. Mind you, he's Japanese. Huh? And he did not stop there. He went on to do the same with his congregation and repented for failing to pastor them with a father's heart. And he too asked them for their forgiveness. And through the gatherings, the Lord had worked on his heart. He's now filled with joy and peace, and he thanked the Lord for that. Now, what happened there was just simply amazing, if you know anything about Japanese culture. And to begin with, his confession and repentance was astounding, because culturally, it's not something that they would do. And Pastor Murakami himself admitted that this was most embarrassing for him. But nonetheless, he wanted to do that. He wanted to be transparent. He made his life a display so that others may also experience that breakthrough for themselves and enter into that reality too. And later on, as the Japanese audience was also asked if they could identify with what had been shared, all of them, without exception, young and old, raised their hands. Said, yes, they experienced that. And we were all moved to tears. And of course, a glorious time of ministry and prayer followed. And the Japanese Christians had a spiritual breakthrough. Hallelujah. Repentance and forgiveness flowed. There was healing and reconciliation. Shackles were broken. Relationships restored. And those bound by unforgiveness were set free. Much rejoicing and celebration followed. Well, time does not permit me to go into all the details, but for those who are interested, you can check that out on YouTube. Just type Kobe Gathering 2015 and you can find it there. Friends, isn't this what Jubilee is about? Next slide, please. Breakthroughs. Isn't this what the proclamation of the gospel should result in? Breakthroughs. Preaching the gospel is more than just presenting the four spiritual laws or ABCs of the gospel. It is proclaiming Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit that leads people to faith and trust in the Lord for his salvation. It results in spiritual breakthroughs and releases those in bondage and captivity to sin and its ways. It unleashes God's power into impossible situations. What are some of our impossible situations or things that we consider impossible in our lives today? If you have such situations, then come before the Lord. Honor him in that situation. Acknowledge his presence and authority in that situation. If there is a need to release forgiveness, release forgiveness. If there's a need to let go of that anger, then let go of that anger. Let God in. Let go and let God in. You know what? He can do wonders. He can do amazing things. He sets captives free. He brings about love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. He restores the joy of God's salvation in one's life. Hallelujah. Several weeks ago, Pastor Joseph Chen spoke about, you know, the church today are all walled up and people outside in the community and passersby cannot see what's happening in here. And of course, he talks about the days of old when, there were no doors and people could see what was going on in the church. And they could hear what was going on. They could see the presence of God and maybe hear what is going on here. What the Lord is doing with his people. And perhaps we should consider a paradigm shift in the way we proclaim the gospel to others. How about inviting seekers and pre-believing friends to a worship meeting where the Holy Spirit is given free rein? Perhaps a little bit like on the day of Pentecost when the believers were gathered together waiting upon the Lord. Incidentally, plans are underway for such a gathering in Singapore in September, September 13th to 16th. There are more details perhaps at another time once arrangements have been firmed up. And as I conclude, allow me to just read once more verses 11 to 15 where it says, "For the scripture says everyone who believes in him, Jesus, will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Can you turn to your neighbor and say, you have beautiful feet? The condition, of course, is that you've got to preach the gospel. Never mind if you've got club feet, flat feet, pigeon-toed, athlete's foot, whatever. You know, so long as you preach the gospel, you have beautiful feet. That's why in the song just now, Let the Praises Ring, we offer him our feet also, right? So in a sense, you can give each other a leg up, you know, I mean, yeah. Help each other, encourage one another. That's what it means, give each other a leg up. Friends, we're living in a world where a lot of things are frightening, a lot of, you know, goings on are fearful. Everything is very transient, uncertain. A lot of about life these days are very fluid. Even values of society change at such a pace, which is frightening. Look at some of the referendums that are going on in Ireland and different parts of the world, and you wonder what happens next, you know. Will it come to our shores? Friends, we have a powerful message to bring to others, a message of hope, a message that sets captives free, a message that liberates, a message that transforms life, a message that releases God's blessings on others. It's good news. This is the message of Jubilee, God's favor. We have every opportunity to witness to many who are out there, many who are lost, who are wondering what they should be doing with their lives. And they can be set free. They can be brought into God's blessings and His everlasting salvation. And this we know is only possible through a restored relationship with the living God, through Jesus Christ. But how would they know? How would they come to that? Well, it's through our faithful proclamation, you and I, by word and by deed, by example and by expression. Not just here on Sunday only, but every other day of the week. Whether as individuals or whether we are gathering in groups, whether as a family of God's people, here or beyond our church walls. I look forward to that event, Jubilee Day of Prayer, where it's another opportunity for us to express God's presence. And hopefully those who are gathered there, especially those who have yet to come into God's kingdom, will not only catch a glimpse of the glory of God, but they themselves will be prompted to embrace God's salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe you can use that opportunity to invite a neighbor, a close friend, or relative who have yet to know Jesus to come. And they may capture something of the glory of God there. Pray about that. The Singapore gathering in September is another occasion. I believe that as we do so, my prayer is that many more will come to see the treasure that we carry in us. That is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and Christ in us, the hope of glory. And crackpots, as some of us may be, you know, God can still use crackpots, broken vessels. In fact, He can use broken vessels more effectively, honestly speaking. Then you know that it's all about Him and it comes from Him. Amen? It's not about us. We're just vessels for Him to be used. Friends, is there anyone who have yet to come to call upon the Lord? If there is anyone here today, may I urge you, delay no further. Call upon the name of the Lord and you will be safe. You will experience the fullness of His salvation. So I invite the worship team to come up and so we prepare ourselves. May I just say once again that proclaiming the gospel is first of all God's intention. It's not a human idea. It's not somebody decides, I'm so bored, I better go and do something. It is God's plan. It's God's purpose. God wants us to preach His word. Bring the word out. Bring the message out. Get it out. And secondly, it is God's injunction. It's God's command. He exhorts You know, he commands, he charges his disciples, all who are his, to go and do so. It's not about whether we like it or we don't like it. And if we consider ourselves as children of the kingdom of God, as sons and daughters of God, then we have this privilege and this charge to meet. And as we go and do so, we do so with confidence and courage and in the joy of the Lord. Next slide, please. The last slide. So as it says there, just do it. May we do so faithfully, by every means, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to praise and glory of God. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. May we pray. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word to us that has brought us salvation. Help us, Lord, to willingly give this out and, to others, because it is not for us to keep, but for us to share. Lord, we thank you for the testimony of those who have gone before us, and even that of Jim Elliot, who said that he is no fool to give what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we will meet with you face to face, and we'll hear from you your words of commendation, your reward that says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Help us, Lord, to do so joyfully and faithfully and fervently, even as we look forward to that day when you will come and make manifest your glory on this earth. And we look forward to that day when you will fill the earth with your glory as the waters cover the sea. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing this song. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the
us to go out in His power, to be His evangelists, to be His bringer of good news, which is a command for all of us. It's not an option for us. So even as we go from this place, we want to pray that God will give us that strength. Okay. Now before I do, I think we have a few words.
Thank you, Pastor Daniel. I just want to run through some words of knowledge quickly. I sense that the Lord wants to touch two sisters. One aged 29, the other one aged 26, turning 27, and the one turning 27 is named Jessica. And I sense that you, both of you, have experienced chest pain over the center of your chest, and the Lord, and you literally experience breathlessness on and off. And I sense that the Lord wants to bring breakthrough to you today. Second word, a 63-year-old brother experienced irregular heart palpitation. And I just sense that the Lord wants to touch him. Next one, a 6-year-old girl turning 7, experienced rashes all over her back, including her arms. And she's literally coughing right now. And I just sense that the Lord wants to minister to her. Last but not least, last night when I was turning in, and God was just telling me he wants to encourage a specific group of people who is currently going through persecution, some in the workplace and others at home ground. And, you know, the Lord wants me to encourage you with Romans 8:31. If God is for you, if God is for us, who can be against us? And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for this belongs to the kingdom of God. And I just feel that the Lord wants to encourage you to hang in there, draw strength from Him, stay close to Him, and His grace will carry you through. Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love for each and every one of us and the way you encourage us. Lord, now as we go from this place, may we go in the power and the strength of God and His Holy Spirit to bring your good news, to be your witnesses in the world. So Father, grant us courage, grant us sensitivity to your Holy Spirit, and give us opportunities to do just that. And right now, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of you, now and always. Amen, amen, amen. Service is over. If you need prayer, you can come forward. I'll see you all back next week. God bless you.